And let me pray before we look at God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would make tonight for each of us this a special Christmas as we ponder this most special gift of your Son. And we pray that you would renew our hearts in love and trust in him. Amen. Well, isn't Christmas great, friends? Who does not love getting gifts? I love getting gifts. And Christmas truly is about the giving and receiving of gifts because Jesus is God's gift. So what better tradition than to give each other gifts? The gift of Jesus is a little bit odd, though, because it's a gift that changes you. And not many gifts are there to change you normally. Normally a gift is something that you already like, and it's not there to change you, it's there to already meet your hobbies and your interests and your nature. But some gifts we give do intend to change the receiver. You may have noticed that someone in your family starts to have a bit more grey hair in 2015 and you give them a bottle of hair dye so they can, you know, rinse it away. Or you just don't like your husband's handlebar moustache. And so he gets a bottle of shaving cream and a razor for Christmas. It's a gift with an implied change for the receiver. What am I saying to my wife if I give her a voucher to a cosmetic surgeon for Christmas? Or here, darling, here's 12 months membership to Weight Watchers. Enjoy. It's a gift with an implied change in the receiver. I was recently at the beach near Chelsea, and there are tattoo parlors down there. Tattoos are very popular, and some of them are quite nice. But there's a tattoo removal shop, and they had a very big sign saying, Christmas vouchers available. Can you imagine giving that to a friend who takes pride in their tattoos? Here is a $1,000 voucher to remove it. It's a gift with an implied change in the receiver. In the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we hear of the change in us through the gift of the Son. We'll sing this in a moment. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, that's all good, born to raise the sons of earth. Then it says, born to give them second birth. Jesus was born as God's gift to give me and us a new birth, a change. Jesus is a gift that changes the receiver. It's a gift with an agenda. It's God's agenda for your heart, that you would get a new heart through the gift of Jesus. In 1 John, it's written, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That is, if you have received the gift of Jesus and you love him, and you have a relationship with him and you've invited him into your life, then it means he's actually changed you. He's the gift that's changed you from the inside out in the deepest, most powerful way. He has given you a change of nature. You are regenerate. You are born again through this gift. That's why Christmas is such a breakthrough for our lives. For our habits. At one level, you see, friends, we're all running from God. I run from God, and I don't want to. It's hard work loving God and praying and obeying and worshipping and reading the Bible, listening to God. It's actually hard work. It's easier to not believe in God, really. And let me sell it to you. You know, if you don't believe in God, you are effectively, functionally, God in your own life, with a little g, but you can be God. It's much, much easier. You don't owe anyone any thanks or any worship. It's all about you. But the problem with that is that it leaves you essentially, or leaves our society in anarchy, because there are like millions of little gods running around, you know, and it leaves our households, you can't fit more than one god under one roof. And so even if there's just two of you, you know, there's two gods in conflict, it leaves us in moral, relational chaos and corruption. And so Jesus has come to be, because he is, our God, and to change our hearts so that we're not worshipping self, twisted in on self, but oriented toward him. So the gift of Jesus is meant to change you. It's to allow you to let go of playing God, to know God in Christ. Now, you may have noticed recently in the news, this year especially, it's been a year of a lot of debate in Victoria, more than any other state of the nation, about whether the government should allow or support or fund children hearing about Christianity in public schools. And it may be there are different views on this debate, even in the room, and that's okay. I'm not going to try and give a political opinion. But it's very interesting that even there is some resistance to Christianity, even to Christmas carols, if you can believe it. It may be for some of you that you're not really affected by secularism. In your neck of the woods, everyone is positive toward Christianity. That's excellent. But for many of you, if you work in the field of education, or maybe if you're a Christian nurse in a hospital, or you work in palliative care, you feel the rising, suffocating power of secularism pushing out Jesus, the name of Jesus. 6 months ago, I worshipped at Easter in Pakistan, and as I went to church in that country, I had to pass past about a dozen men with machine guns who were guarding us at church and go through a metal detector. I've got photos of all of this. It's amazing. And on the top of the church, if you can imagine at a Berwick Anglican church, there's a sniper, and he's an official government sniper put there to protect the church because of the people who are against Jesus in Pakistan. And so I would imagine in the next few hours, that will be the worship for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Pakistan and Egypt and in the Middle East and in many countries of the world. And in a little way, in Australia, a rising resistance to Jesus. How does Christmas address this? Well, the New Testament says, everyone born of God who has received the gift that changes overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith or our confidence in Christ. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you receive the gift that changes you, you are going against the grain of the world, against the grain of secularism. And the Christians in Pakistan are going against the grain of their world. And you are, in a way, overcoming the world. I like Latin phrases. Let me teach you the Latin phrase. It's called contra mundum. It's a phrase of courage. It means against the world. If you are to receive the gift of Christ, you have to be a Christian contra mundum, against the world. And in Australia, you're more and more visibly against the world, against the government, as you love Christ more than anything. Have you received the gift that changes you? Have you overcome the world? As soon as you start taking Jesus seriously, your friends will think you are strange and you'll have to overcome them. And people will say, don't be too serious. But if Jesus is God, you cannot take him too seriously. And the last wonderful thing about Jesus is that he gives us eternal life. This is a great gift. God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. Interesting, it doesn't say the life is in being really good. No, the life eternal that God gives is by being found close to Jesus, clinging to Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus was given a life in Bethlehem that you might have a life in heaven. That is why he's come. Whoever has the Son, whoever has the gift, has eternal life. If you are in Christ, when you die, you will not arise to find yourself cut off from God eternally or excluded from eternal life, which is sort of like a second death. You'll find yourself forgiven in Christ and invited into glory forever. The Bethlehem gift will be your heavenly gift. You could summarize Christmas in this way, friends. Born once, die twice, or born twice, die once. The first way is without Christ. You're only born once, but you'll die twice. Once in this life and once cut off from God. But if you receive the gift and he gives you second birth, as in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, then you'll be born twice and you will only die once and you'll go to glory. So friends, here is the gift on offer to us today. The opportunity to be reborn in Jesus, to overcome the world and to receive eternal life. It may not be the Christmas gift we ask for. Does this gift imply that we need to change? It does. But it's God who does the changing. It's God who gives us the new nature. So if I can give you, just by way of practical challenge, can I invite you this Christmas season, if you have some holidays, spend some time in the Bible taking a fresh look at Jesus Christ. We have on the counter on the way out lots of little copies of Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel. Just take one. We've got heaps of them. And let that be a little thing you can carry in your car and read and reconnect with Christ. And if you want to take it a step further, come along to our Reason for God course, or wherever you live, find a church that teaches the Bible and connect with God's people. Not all gifts change us. Pairs of socks, box of chocolates, but the best gifts do change us, and Jesus is the best gift. He was born that we might be reborn. He came into the world that we might overcome the world. He was given life in Bethlehem that we would have life in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we love and accept you afresh. You as our Lord, you as our God, you as our Saviour and our Redeemer and our Judge. Thank you for coming all the way to give us second birth, to help us overcome the world, and to bring us eternal life in heaven. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you and we honour you. Amen.